Can you hear me? There you go. You know, I want to say 5 years ago, we had a couple lead music and some events took place and they quit. If you're in a small church, you know that happens. And, you know, it's not like you have a big pool of people to pull from. You kind of have to deal with the cards you're dealt with. And Heather stepped up and said, you know, I'll lead temporarily. 5 years later, she's still leading temporarily. And she's faithfully done that. And I can't tell you how much that has meant to me personally to know that she's there for me. And she's helped me in leading the music, because as she probably found out, I don't know much about music. And I don't want to think about music. I just want to preach and to lead. And we've partnered up pretty well and had our ups and downs. But she's been faithful through it all. So we just want to commend you, Heather, and thank you. And I mean, your faithfulness. And so, you know, next week things are going to change again, so music-wise, and we'll have to be flexible, and we'll have to learn, and we'll get through it together, and we'll do what God has asked us to do. Amen? All right. This morning we're going to look at the book of Acts. So if you have your Bibles, which I hope you do, open it up on your phone, whatever way that you have it. I would love for you to start looking for the book of Acts, especially the 26th chapter. And we're going to look at this book. It's probably written by a man named Luke. He also wrote the Gospel of Luke. And he was a traveling companion of the Apostle Paul. And he was also a physician, a doctor. And the book was probably written sometime in the 60s, 60 AD, not 1960, but 60 AD, somewhere in the early part. And we're going to look towards the end of the book where we see the Apostle Paul on trial. You know, and a lot of times I get asked, why do we preach a lot from the Apostle Paul? Why? Who is Paul? And I hope this morning it kind of sheds a little light on that. But he is given a defense of himself before the King Agrippa, and we're going to hear his story this morning. We're going to look at his story. We're going to look at Paul's story in his own words, and we're going to focus on what drove Paul. What was the desire that kept Paul going? And in all the missionary work that he did. And he wrote 13 letters that are part of our New Testament. And that's a conservative view. Some people think it might be less than that. But it is around 13 letters. And at the same time as you listen to his story, I want you to start thinking about your own story. Because each one of you has a story about how Christ came into your life in some way, shape, or form. And I want you to start thinking about your own story. How did you come to know Jesus? And what is your heavenly vision? What is your heavenly vision? And what are your desires when it comes to your faith? And how does it move you? What does it do to you? And this morning's message is titled, Heavenly Vision. And by the time we finish this morning, I hope you'll have an answer to some of these questions. And we're in Acts 26, and I'm not going to read the whole chapter, so I'm going to give you permission that if you get bored with me, just start reading the chapter, which is totally fine with me. But we're going to pick out parts of it. And I would encourage you to read along. And you can also you look on the back of your bulletin, there's a little fill-in thing for you to do if you're one of those kind of people. And you can follow along that way. So let me set the stage for you on chapter 26 of the book of Acts. Paul's been arrested, and if you look in Acts 24:5, the Jews were accusing him of being a plague. A plague. Can you imagine being accused of being a plague, an agitator among all the Jews throughout the Roman world. And you know, for at that time, the Romans hated one thing more than anything, and it was disruption of peace, because they were in total control. So if someone came along and was stirring up things a little bit, they would come down really hard on him because they didn't tolerate that at all. So to have that accusation that you're an agitator would get you in a lot of trouble. And they accused him of being a ringleader of the sect of Nazarenes. And he is also accused of trying to desecrate the temple. And for this, the Jews wanted him arrested, and they wanted him put to death. And so he's in the hands of the Romans. And he was sent to, the things got so crazy in Jerusalem, they sent him to Caesarea for his own safety, where he was kept there for 2 years as leadership changed and different things. But he was a Roman citizen. Eventually, he would just appeal to be tried by the emperor himself because he didn't want to stick around and have the Jews try him. So using his Roman citizenship, the rights he had as a Roman, he said, I appeal to Caesar. And so they're waiting to send him to Caesar. But before he sent him, King Agrippa, who had heard a lot about Paul, wanted to hear his story for himself. So in chapter 6, it picks up where Paul is standing before King Agrippa and his sister Beatrice, who was also known for, she's kind of a celebrity for all the wrong reasons, so her marriages and some of the practices that she had. But she was there along with the governor Festus. And Festus was hoping that through this hearing, he might come up with something to charge Paul because he was sending him off to Rome with no charges. So he didn't know what to charge him with. They hadn't found anything that Paul had violated any Roman law. So Paul starts explaining his situation, and he describes himself, and he starts saying that he was a Pharisee who persecuted Christians. He starts that out in his own words, and in fact it says in Acts 26, 9 through 11, in fact, I myself supposed that it was necessary to do many things in opposition to the name of Jesus of Nazarene, the Nazarene. I actually did this in Jerusalem, and I locked up many of the saints in prison. And since I had received authority from the chief priest, when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. And all the synagogues often tried to make them blaspheme by punishing them, and even pursued them to foreign cities. I was greatly enraged at them. That's Paul's own words. I mean, just think about Paul doing this whole, his whole ministry. He cast his vote. He went and arrested, and people were put to death by what he did. And he had to live with that. Just imagine that for a moment. But something was about to change Paul's life. Something he didn't expect at all. I mean, he is on this one course, and his whole life is about to change in a way he never imagined. In carrying out his duties, he was commissioned to go to Damascus to bring Christians back to Jerusalem to try them. But on his way, he met someone he didn't expect. Not one bit. Not one bit. In fact, we can read from his own words in Acts 26, 13 through 15. Paul shares his conversion. King Agrippa, he says, while on the road at midday, I saw a light from heaven brighter than the sun, shining around me and those traveling with me. We all fell to the ground, and I heard a voice speaking to me in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. Then I said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord replied, I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. This encounter with Jesus, I just can't imagine. He heard the voice of Jesus. And from that encounter with Jesus, Saul, who he's formerly known, would become Paul. Saul, who persecuted a Christian, would become Paul the Christian. Just imagine that. He never in his wildest dreams thought one day that he would be a Christian. The very people he was putting to death, he himself would become. And can you imagine that? just as he was coming into the church, how people would have felt about him. They wouldn't have trusted him. I mean, there's just so many things, or the guilt that he would carry for the rest of his life because of what he did. But Paul's life would never be the same. And he would become a voice for the entire movement of the Christian faith into the Roman world. And we read his story and his miraculous conversion, but we often, when we read his story, we don't think about our own story. I was thinking, because I think we see this amazing blinding light and this voice of Jesus, but in all reality, is your conversion any less miraculous? Maybe you didn't write the New Testament, but your life has never been the same, has it? For those who profess Christ and believe, something happened from an encounter with Jesus, and you've never been the same. Maybe it was in a church service that you're sitting in, and you heard a call to come forward, and you came forward. Maybe it was in a gym, like Brother Joaquin can tell you about, lifting weights, and someone shared Jesus with him. And right there in a gym, he came to know who Jesus was. Or maybe it was at home. You were listening to a message on a radio. It doesn't matter where it was or how it happened. The fact is that over something happened to you that you can't totally explain, and you have never been the same. Maybe it was something that took a long time. Maybe it's just something you've reasoned through. Because God meets us at all different places, wherever you are, and he brings you along. But you came to a place where you came to know and believe in the person of Jesus Christ. Just like Paul did. I can tell you, when Paul saw the blinding light, heard the voice of Jesus, he believed. I can tell you right then and there. There was no question for Paul. He believed. But your life is being rearranged, and you're doing things now in your life, like sitting in a church service listening to a guy like me. You would have never done that before, but here you are today. And you're listening because your whole life has been rearranged and you're doing things you never imagined. Your whole way of thinking has changed, and the way that you see the world has changed. And this morning I want to encourage you to know your story. Each one of you has something. We could interview everybody in here, and you have some kind of story. And I want to encourage you to know your story. And I want to encourage you to share your story with other people, whoever that may be. But all of us who profess Christ have a story how God has changed us. And we are a witness also to the changing, how God is changing us. How many of you are the same that you were just a month ago, 6 months ago, a year? Charlie and me were talking this morning just how much we've changed just in the last year of knowing each other, how we've grown in the faith, and how Jesus continues to work in our lives. How many of you have Jesus Christ working in your lives and you can profess that? Everybody should raise your hand if you're a believer. If not, you should be questioning, where's your faith? What needs to change? Because he does, he works in our lives, and he also answers our prayers, and he guides us with his love, and he lives with us in our lives. And we can all have testimony to that fact. So here's why that is important. Here's why I'm coming to the conclusion just how important it is to know and see how God is working in your life and be able to share it. Because what would happen if you had to stand before King Agrippa? Would you be able to tell him your story? I mean, that's where we're at, right? But here's why it's really important. People in the world today, I see it all over the place, they will debate the existence of God. How many of you have seen someone debate the existence of God lately? Right? If you're on Facebook, you're on anything, social media, anywhere, you're going to come across those kind of people. They're there. They will deny the scripture, and they'll even deny that Jesus himself existed. I was just reading an article the other day how the New Testament guys made up the story of Jesus. I mean, this is stuff going around all the time. But one thing about these people that they cannot deny is when you start sharing the changing power of experiencing God daily in your life, they have no answer for that. How do you tell somebody no when you're saying, listen, I have answered prayers in my life. Things I can't explain, but I prayed for them, they happened. How do you put those into words? But as a Christian, I experienced those things. And we need to share them more often. I really, truly believe that. One of the most powerful tools that you have in sharing your faith is this. You ready? How can I pray for you? One of the most powerful tools you have for evangelism is how can I pray for you? Because you'll challenge the person there. And you know what happens? You pray for that person, and you make it a point when that prayer is answered to let them know. Let them know that God answered that prayer. I know some of you sitting here in this room, I've prayed for you on certain things. We've sat down and prayed, and God has answered our prayers. Am I right? What a testimony that God answers prayers. That he's a God who loves us, and he is working in our lives. And we are servants, and we are to be witnesses to the power of God. As we read Paul's story, we can see that Paul was commissioned by God to do a certain task. He was given a task. Jesus tells Paul, get up and stand on your feet. And this is right at his conversion. Stand up and get up on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you as a servant and a witness of what I will reveal to you. And he was to go and rescue people from the Gentiles, as he said. And so he sent Paul, and he did this. And he has called us to do the same thing. We're to be witnesses of Jesus Christ to the world. We're to go out into the world and share Christ. Jesus is still commissioning the saints to do this. And you can read what Jesus told them. You can say, open the eyes. We're to change the way the people see the world. We're, by the way that we see the world, we share that with others. We see it differently. We're to turn people from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to the power of God. And we do this by sharing our faith in Jesus Christ. Because it is by Jesus these things happen. And by in Jesus, we have received the forgiveness of sin, and we have eternal life by believing in him. And we share our faith with others. That Jesus has changed our lives. He's opened our eyes. I can turn away from things I never could have turned away from before. But now I don't desire those things. I desire heavenly things, greater things, good things. And I also share with the inheritance of the saints. I am being sanctified. In Christ Jesus, I am being set apart to be heirs to a kingdom, to be children of God. Amen? I don't fear death because I know where I'm going. And Paul was faithful to this call for the rest of his life. He didn't quit on this calling that he had. He stayed faithful to it. And I just want to, just wherever Paul was sent, he did so faithfully, no matter what happened to him. And you can read in 2 Corinthians 11, 22 through 28. Here is just some of the things the Apostle Paul went through for this heavenly vision that he had. He says in his own words, are you a Hebrew? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they servants of saints or the servants of Christ? And talking like a madman, because he can't believe he's saying these words, but he's got to share them. I am a better one. With far more labors, far more imprisonments, far more beatings, near death three times, five times I received 39 lashes from the Jews, three times I was beaten with rods by the Romans, once I was stoned by my enemies, and I love that story because he was stoned, drug outside the city gates because they thought he was dead. He got up when they were all done, went back into the city, slept for the night, and left. Now, I can tell you, if I got stoned, I would not be going back into the city. There's no way. ever happened, but that's the Apostle Paul. He did that. 3 times I was shipwrecked, he says. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. In frequent journeys, I faced dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my own people, dangers from Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the open country, dangers at sea, and dangers among false brothers, labored in hardship, many sleepless nights, hunger and thirst, often without food, cold and lacking clothing, not to mention other things. And there was the daily pressure on me, my care for all the churches. That was his life. And to this end, Paul confidently, before King Agrippa, said, I did not disobey. I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. And he did it his whole life. And so my question this morning is, what is your heavenly vision? What is your heavenly vision? What has God placed on your heart? What has God called you to do? Because Paul's not unique in this call. He's not. Jesus calls us to share him with the world, and he places us in positions to reach people. And maybe this morning, he's calling you to missions. Maybe someone here has never thought about that, but maybe you're being called to missions. Maybe some of you are being called to ministry, to be a pastor. I can tell you that this was a heavenly vision on my life, one that I couldn't turn from. And I can't say that I've always embraced it with all my heart. Over time I have, but it's not something I chose for my life, I can tell you that. But he's picked it. He chose me for it, and he's helping me do it. And maybe you got some new ministry. Maybe there's something that has been placed on your heart a long time ago, and it's something that you need to do. And you know that's your vision. Maybe it's teaching. Maybe it's, I don't know what it could be. The possibilities are endless when it comes to God. But it will place you to reach people for his namesake, a group of people that he has set aside for you to go minister to. And there's no age limit to this. There's no gender to this. God calls us all to do something for his kingdom, to build his kingdom. And are you being true to that heavenly vision? And before you get totally overwhelmed, because I can hear it already, because one of the things that we suffer in this country is our comfortable. We're comfortable where we're at. And the thought of just being disrupted and moving somewhere else or doing something else out of our comfort zone just totally is a no-go. Am I right? I mean, how many times has God called you to something and you just said, nope, not going to happen? I know we do it. But I'm going to tell you what. If you trust Jesus in your uncomfortability and that you step out in faith to what he's called you to do, listen, he will equip you to do it. He will give you the strength to do it. He'll encourage you with his saints. I can't tell you how many times I've wanted to walk right out of this pulpit and just get in my van and leave. There's been times. But you know what? God calls me back. You know how he does it? Somebody will come up to me and say something to me. They won't even know it, but they'll just say, brother, you so encourage me. You this, that, or I'm thankful for you, or something will happen, and you'll just be drawn right back into it. Over and over again, God does this. And eventually you just say, all right, Lord, I'm yours. I'm yours. You got me. This is where I'm supposed to be. This is what I'm supposed to do. And I'll just keep doing it faithfully. But I want to encourage you, it's all right. If you're stepping out and it's uncomfortable, that's probably where you need to be. I'm telling you right now. Because he's not going to want you to do it under your own strength. You're not going to walk away from it and say, look at what I did. You won't be able to. You'll go, look at what God has done through me. This is the impossible. He's done it. He's made it possible. He gets the glory, not me. And so I want to encourage you in your heavenly vision. Paul accepted and he shared it no matter where he went, because Paul had one desire in life. Paul finishes his defense, and it's clear, and I love if you read it in there. I mean, Festus just says, "You've been studying too much, Paul. You are crazy. It's made you crazy." And Paul was using this opportunity right in front of all these people, and he was sharing Christ with them. In fact, Agrippa says to Paul, "Are you going to persuade me to become a Christian so easily?" Because he saw that Paul was taking the opportunity just to try to get them to Jesus. To which Paul says this great line in verse 29. "I wish before God," replied Paul, "that whatever easily or with difficulty, not only you, but all who listen to me today might become as I, except for these chains, to be free in Christ." He prayed that for everybody. What is your desire? Do you desire for others to know Jesus? I'm telling you, the world today is in desperate need of Jesus Christ. I hope you can see that, because it's so needed. There's so many people out there that have bought into lies, and there is no hope in what they're putting their faith in. And it's just a matter of time before they find out just how empty it is. And they're going to turn to people who have faith, who have something, they have truth. And God has placed you where you are right now. Some of you are like struggling, like, do I belong where I'm at? And I know some, God has placed you in places. He has people for you to share Christ with, to open eyes, to be used as a light, to help people turn to God and away from Satan, and by trusting in Jesus Christ. You're there for that purpose, to show them Christ. So what is your heavenly vision this morning? I hope right now you're feeling uncomfortable. I really do. Feeling uncomfortable for the kingdom of God, and that you're feeling a heavenly vision upon your heart. Or at least you'll leave here and you'll really be thinking about it. What is my vision? And then the second question is, are you being true to your heavenly vision? Are you following it? I want to encourage you to ask God to reveal what his vision is for your life. I know it's a daring prayer, but I'm asking you to pray it. Maybe it's just something where you're at is just to share your faith where you're at. Maybe it's a neighbor that you have been thinking about for a while that God has placed on your heart, and you just need to go walk across the street and make a friend. Maybe it's a close friend that you just never have shared your faith with. Or maybe it's someone at work. Maybe it's a family member. Somebody's been placed on your heart. And maybe it's time to start trying to reach that person. Maybe God is calling you to something else. Whatever that is, I want to encourage you this morning to put your faith in Jesus and follow that vision that God has placed upon your heart. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just pray right now, Lord, as we come into this time of the service, Lord, that you would start to lay upon us our heart, your vision for our lives, Lord, and that we would not lose sight of why we're all here this morning, and that's because of Jesus Christ. And I pray right now, Lord, that if there's anybody here that's never put their faith in Jesus, I pray that they would. And Lord, as we go into the Lord's Supper, I pray that you would prepare our hearts now, Lord, that we would remember that your body was broken for us, that it was laid in the grave, and on the third day it rose again because of you. And I pray that we would be mindful of his blood that was shed for us for the forgiveness of sin, that by the forgiveness of sin, Lord, and by his death and resurrection, we can know you, Father, and we can love you and spend eternity with you, and we can help build your kingdom now, Lord. that we can have life abundant now in Christ. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.